Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction.
So this is a problem. I just got bumped off again. Hello, guys. I don't know what's happening. This is the third time this has happened where I tried to call in to my own show and got bumped off. But I've become a fast redialer now, so hopefully there wasn't too long of a pause. So thanks for joining me for episode 30 of Hippie Witch, Magic for a New Age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the kooky, life-loving creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, Putting the K in Magic, and of course, Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and all that good shit, and you can pick up a copy of that for free at www.joannadevoe.com. And today's show is actually part three in a series that I am doing all October on how archetypes, I often just say archetypes, but it's actually archetypes, how archetypes come into play when doing shadow work. I'm also launching the Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year this month, which is a very unusual and, I think, kick-ass year-in-a-day series. And the first module of that has a lot to do with shadow work. So I thought that I would stick with that theme here on the radio show, too, because, you know, Halloween is coming up, and the fall is just a really good time to delve into shadow work and all that good stuff. And for those of you who did not listen to either of the last two shows that I did, I will just say that I have included, back on the Blog Talk Radio page for this episode, and those episodes, a list of resources that relate to shadow work and archetypes. And FYI, for anyone who actually enjoys those resource lists, I'm going to, from now on, be hooking that up on my website instead of at Blog Talk Radio. You can still find me at Blog Talk Radio. I just want everything I do to be easily accessible from one hub. So later today, I will be doing a blog post to recap today's show, including the resource list, and then I will be doing that from now on for all future shows. And if you go to Blog Talk Radio to find me, you still can find me. It's just going to have a little bit of text that says, hop on over to my blog to get the resource list. So go to joannadevoe.com if you want to find me. Make sure you put www.joannadevoe.com. I haven't figured out how to get that www dot off. I know it's possible, but I'm doing this all by myself. I don't have a web developer, so bear with me. Punch in those extra three letters. And I feel like I did a pretty good job in the last two episodes describing what archetypes are and how they relate to shadow work. So I'm not going to repeat all that today. And for those of you who don't know what shadow work is, I included three links in that resource list that I just mentioned, and you can check those out and get a nice overview of what shadow work is. I got pretty deeply into that, and there's videos and blog posts, videos within the blog post, so you can spend a nice afternoon getting into shadow work if you want to. So jumping right in to today's topic, shadows and light. Playing nice with your inner child. I know for me, when I hear the term inner child, two thoughts immediately come to mind. The first is pretty happy. like, aw, the inner child. Yes, that's where your inspiration lies. That's where you will find your true purpose and where you can get back in touch with who you really are. And if you go to Pinterest and you put in inner child, as I have done, because I am a Pinterest fanatic, you will see all of these very inspiring, you know, pins and posters that people have made about your inner child and how magical it is and all that. So clearly I'm not the only one who that all comes to mind when I hear that phrase. But there's another thought that comes right after that, the second thought, and it's kind of accompanied by a rolling of the eyes, and it goes something like this. Ugh, right, all that 80s and 90s mumbo-jumbo about the wounded child and how our parents are to blame for ruining our lives and yada, 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 blah, 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 blah. So what? So what? So, yeah, you can probably tell from those two thoughts that I'm a person who has been exploring the whole world of personal development for a very long time. So long, in fact, that all the obvious cliches ring true. But cliches are cliches for a reason, I would like to point out. And in a weird way, they're not totally unlike archetypes in that they are based on fairly universal patterns that we can all recognize. Yes, it's true that much of your juice and zest for life lies in your ability to get in touch with what brought you pleasure as a kid. And yeah, your parents probably screwed you up. Welcome to the club. So now what? Is there anything beyond that? Just stewing in that and blaming your parents? And FYI, I am one of those horrible people who actually verbalized, "You ruined my life," to my parents, my mom in particular, when I first got into personal development in my 20s. I thought I needed to tell my mom every way that she ruined my life. And she was actually a good sport about it, and she listened to me. And she even apologized for a few things, which was cathartic in a lot of ways, probably for both of us. But knowing what I know now, I might have handled it differently. So what can you do beyond that? For starters, it can be helpful for a brief period of time to do that, to explore the hurts of your child. And many psychoanalysts will happily go there with you. In fact, if you're not careful, they can have you going there for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. But at some point, hopefully, you move on. Or you will just stay stuck in psychoanalyzing your childhood for all time. And believe me, you will find all kinds of little things to pull out and dig up and analyze and pull apart, and depending on your therapist, they can too. You can just have a whole heyday with it. You can go see a therapist who specializes in hypnotic regressions, and you can go visit your childhood. And I'm not mocking these things per se. I guess I am to some degree, but they're useful. They're useful tools. But you just kind of want to get in and out with those tools. It's not a place you want to hang around for a really long time. Too many of us in the world of personal development have spent a great deal of time digging around in our childhoods, blaming our parents or our teachers or our lack of a good role model when we were kids for our fucked up lives now. When the truth is that, while it sucks that we may not have received all of the love and support that we needed as children, we may have even suffered abuse or neglect, which should be thoughtfully addressed, perhaps in a clinical setting. We are adults now, and like it or not, we are responsible now for providing those things for ourselves. Not that you can't go get help. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that ultimately the responsibility lies within you. And that's where reparenting comes in. Have you ever heard that term, reparenting? That was also really popular, I think, in the 80s and 90s. But reparenting is when you, through the use of guided meditation — this is one way to do it, this is not the only way — but through the use of guided meditation, or just by sitting quietly one day on your own, you imagine yourself traveling back to your childhood. And hopefully you are a regular meditator, because getting into and being able to hold a meditative state is really helpful here. Anyway, you imagine yourself traveling back in time to your childhood, preferably to a time that you felt particularly afraid or distressed, And it's best if you can spend some time really going there, like really envisioning your surroundings and what you were wearing. Since memory can come in handy there, like trying to recall the smells of your childhood and the sounds. Because I don't know, for those of you who have studied method acting, there might be one or two of you out there. Since memory is a fantastic, magical tool that can really conjure up all kinds of incredible emotion. Just a scent. I mean, even if you don't understand what sense memory is, you can understand it by imagining the smell of your grandmother's cookies. And if you're ever, like, just walking through the mall or down the street and all of a sudden you smell a smell that smells exactly like your grandmother's cookies, it can transport you right back to your grandmother's house and memories of grandma. And before you know it, the tears are flowing, and that is how sense memory works. Through using the sense of smell, that's our most powerful. For most people, that's most powerful. But smell, taste, sight, sound, smell, taste, sight. What else is there? Touch. You can recall these memories. It's just like pushing a button on a computer, and these memories instantly pop up. So here we go on another one of my tangents. But that's helpful if you're doing this kind of meditation or visualization, to be able to, like, push those buttons in yourself and get yourself as thoroughly as you can into the memory of being a child. And so once you've envisioned yourself in as a kid, hopefully you want to take yourself back to some event, a major event that left you feeling in need of some comfort, love, or support that you did not, in fact, receive. And then here's where the magic comes in. You rewrite, not literally, you can, that's also helpful, but in your mind, you reimagine the whole scenario and replay it as if you did receive the encouragement and guidance that you required. You can envision yourself, who you are now, providing that for the child you were back then, or you can imagine someone from your past, a parent, an uncle, a teacher, a friend providing that for you, or even a make-believe character coming to your rescue and instilling in you the power to make it through that experience healthy, happy, and whole. And the amazing thing about the way our minds work is that our brains literally cannot tell the difference between something that actually happened and something that we have strongly imagined. The same neural pathways light up and the same patterns are created, especially in this case if you go back and repeat that visualization enough times that it eventually, and it can eventually replace deep in your subconscious mind, the event that actually happened. And I know that that can sound like a lot of hocus pocus, but I assure you from experience that this stuff actually works. And that's why I like to say that I take a psycho-spiritual approach to magic. I don't have a religion. I guess that is my religion. Psychology is magical to me, and we are amazing creatures. And there's so many interesting healing modalities and practices that you can put into place to, in a sense, manipulate yourself, for lack of a better phrase, into feeling what it is you want to have. And I believe our feeling state is what is magnetic. It's not your thoughts that create your reality. It's your feelings, and you know, it's your feelings that incite you into action and all of that. So to me, psychology is the key to magic. So there that was. Another one of my tangents. I am the tangent queen. I feel like I need a button that says that. But it does illustrate one of the ways in which you can deal with the darker aspects of your inner child once you are able to recognize them. And that is the whole point of shadow work. Shadow work is the work you do in order to be able to recognize these patterns that continually pop up unexpectedly and often unleash all manner of chaos in your life. And the child archetype, as cute as it may seem on the surface, really can be one of the most chaotic. Just like an actual child, at first glance, the child archetype is one that it's easy to have a fondness for. You know, children are wonderful. They are cute. They are playful and practically glowing with life. In fact, and this is just an aside, but one of my favorite things to do when dealing with a difficult or distasteful person is to imagine them as a child, which is pretty easy to do. And that always has a magical effect on my perspective. It instantly brings out the compassion in me. And I think that's what looking at the child archetype can do. It can bring out the compassion in you for yourself. But there's compassion, and then there's being a doormat. And anyone who has ever been a parent of or worked with small children knows that as cute as they are, kids have an uncanny knack for destruction. These deceptively pudgy and wide-eyed little effers can make your life a living hell if you do not show them who is boss. And I don't mean that in terms of being a tyrant or abusive or even domineering, but children need boundaries. And it has been proven many times in clinical studies that children find comfort and relief in being with caretakers who establish and enforce firm rules and guidelines. Gosh, that reminds me so much of my cat, Steve. My husband drugged this stray cat home from Long Beach one day. I told him not to, and he did, and this cat was a nightmare. He broke every window in our house, all the screens of every window, because our windows were open, and he couldn't decide if he wanted in or out. So he would claw and scratch and chew his way through our screens, but not before causing tons of annoying chaos, meowing in this really, like, distressing way. He was super distressed, just a total nightmare, this cat. He bullied our other cats. He would, like I said, break our windows coming in and out and in and out. And then one day I put him inside, like, one of those cat carriers, and I covered it up with a towel so he couldn't see out. And I felt bad when I first did it. I felt like I was being cruel, but I just had to get this cat to shut up. He was driving me crazy, and I had never experienced anything like that. I love cats, and I was just beside myself. This had been going on all summer, and come to find out, he loved it. He immediately got quiet and went to sleep, and then I let him out a little bit later, and I noticed he was a lot calmer. So I did that quite a few times, probably over the course of a month, and he would actually go in there by himself for comfort, and ultimately we didn't have to use it anymore. It was just a temporary tool, but that really illustrated to me, maybe not how kids are, but I guess cats too, like, we need boundaries. People need boundaries. Cats need boundaries. Sometimes that creates a sense of safety within us and calms us down and stops the chaos. So kids need boundaries, and kids that, this has been proven, as I said, kids that lack this feeling, they experience all kinds of emotional distress and insecurity, just like my cat Steve, which shows up in the messes and the chaos that they make. Those are their cries for help. These are the problem children of the world, and ironically what they need, even as they push it away, is love. And sometimes that love needs to show up as tough love or boundaries. And the same goes for the child you carry within. That child needs to know that you, as the grown-up, are boss, and that you are the one in the driver's seat. And when I say the child you carry within, I mean the inner child we all carry within. And if you had a childhood, for better or worse, you have an inner child. And if your inner child is one who frequently acts out, hopefully it's not chewing through screens, thankfully there is something that you can do about that. We often carry the hurts of our childhood within us and don't even realize how frequently those wounds are crying out to be heard, healed, and loved, because the shadow side of the child, it manifests in a variety of different ways, and it's different for each person, but it will manifest repeatedly in the same ways over and over and over again for you. So that's how you can find how it manifests for you. Like, what are the patterns of your child? Does it emerge as feelings of helplessness or feeling overwhelmed? Do you hear yourself saying that a lot? Like, I just feel so overwhelmed. Are you a person that does nothing when you feel overwhelmed because you don't know what to do? I relate to that. Your child might be prone to throwing verbal temper tantrums. He or she might get all whiny when things aren't fair. It's not fair. Or blame other people for the way your life is turning out. Do you ever do that? And on that last point, I'd just like to say that when you blame other people for your problems, you are essentially handing over your power and denying your own responsibility for your life, which is, if you think of it, a really childish thing to do. And I'm not trying to be harsh. I don't know if this is coming off as harsh. I'm like, tell it like it is, Phil. Tell it like it is, Joe. This is the real deal. This is shadow work. If you're going to do shadow work, you need to get real with yourself. This is not a time to be, like, polite and soft and silly. I definitely am silly. I definitely have a sense of humor. I don't mind throwing around an F-bomb every once in a while. But ultimately, you just have to get real. And, you know, the shadow side of your child, it's going to come to the fore anytime you feel unsafe or in danger. And what you perceive as being unsafe or dangerous largely depends on the events of your childhood, as I keep repeating. But it really is that simple and complex at the same time. I mean, it's simple. It's easy to understand. That's an easy enough concept. But it's really complex when you get into it and you start actually doing the work of shadow work. For example, if you lost a parent, either through death, divorce, or abandonment as a child, it is likely that some part of you on some level became locked into that age, the age that that happened. And that kind of loss can create a type of arrested development emotionally in which you revert to whatever age it was that that loss occurred whenever you feel similarly threatened or stimulated. And it doesn't have to be to the same degree. Like, losing a parent is a very extreme form of loss. But anything that triggers that sensation of loss within you can take you right back there. That's kind of like your emotional set point that might have been set in place when you were 5 or 8 or 14. So if, say, you lost your mother when you were a young teenager, anytime life presents you with a situation that reminds you of that loss, even vaguely, not even on a subconscious level, you may to some degree find yourself slipping in to the same coping mechanism that you sought relief in as a 13-year-old. Even though you may be 20, 30, or 40, or 50-something now, and those methods are no longer appropriate. And that's where compassion comes in, too. You know, when you realize that's what's happening, you can have compassion for yourself. That you're, you know, doing the best you can, and that 13-year-old boy or girl inside developed these coping mechanisms in an attempt to feel better. And it's not an acting out. It's not the ripping at the screen. It's a search for comfort. It's trying to comfort itself. And this, by the way, can happen with any kind of loss, not just the loss of a parent, including and especially sexual abuse or physical abuse, which is, in my opinion, the ultimate loss of innocence. And, gosh, that infuriates me. I hate when I see a news story about a kid being abused. I try to avoid that stuff because it will just hang with me forever, and I swear to you, my mind is a steel trap when it comes to that stuff. I have a file of every news story I have ever read, and all of those kids live in my heart. Anyway, more tangents. Which brings me to the guardian of innocence, which is the lighter side of the child, according to Carolyn Mace. If you remember from last week's episode, there is an upside to every archetypal pattern wreaking havoc in our lives. And when we shine a bit of light on its shadow, that upside can be revealed as the guardian it is. So last week we talked about the saboteur and how when you shine some light on that shadow, the saboteur is actually the guardian of choice. Well, in the same way, the child can be the guardian of innocence. And Carolyn Mace, I just want to reiterate, I've already said this, but largely what I'm talking about this month are these four archetypes of survival. They're universal archetypes that we all have in common, and the work that she did on this is presented in a book called Sacred Contracts. I can't recommend that book for everyone because it's not an easy read, and it would definitely take a commitment to get through it all and to actually apply it all to your life. But for those of you who enjoy that kind of thing, knock yourselves out. It's an excellent book. I don't know if I'm ever going to stop working with that book. It's something that I've been returning to a lot this year. It's really interesting. And I didn't even fully grasp it the first time I bought that book. It took me a while to make friends with it. But anyway, to quote Carolyn Mace, the core issue of the child archetype is dependency and responsibility. When to take responsibility, when to have healthy dependency, when to stand up to the group, and when to embrace communal life. She also mentions the child archetype as being related to our perceptions of safety and nurturing and loyalty and family. So those are clues that can help you identify your own child and begin to recognize it as the guardian of innocence. And the holidays are coming up soon, and I can't think of a better time than Thanksgiving or Christmas to do a little spying on yourself and see what patterns start to emerge in you as you interact with your family or don't interact with them. Do you spend your holidays alone? Either way, the holidays are a gold mine for getting to the heart of what your inner child is trying to say. And once you are able to get in touch with that, once you can identify what your inner child thinks it needs, you can start to give it to him or her. You can write your inner child a letter telling him or her how you will, him or her safe, him or her, I'm trying to be politically correct, let's call it, how you will keep it safe. And, you know, the things that you will do to protect it and that it can relax now because you're in charge and you love it and blah, 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 blah. You can revisit that reparenting visualization that I mentioned earlier and do the same thing. And with enough thoughtful exploration and compassion for yourself, you will, in fact, see that your inner child began acting out when it lost its innocence. And we all lose our innocence eventually in one way or another, which has so much to do with shaping us into the adults that we come to be. And if you can heal some of that hurt, if you can create a sense of safety for yourself now around issues of betrayal or abandonment or not being seen or heard, feeling ignored or unsafe, whatever it is for you, maybe you can reclaim some of that lost innocence and bring that shadow aspect of yourself into the light. And that, my friends, is the child. Next week, I'm going to be talking about the victim, which is very, very closely related to the child. Your child will often slip in to the victim role. So these two really go hand in hand. And I'm looking forward to getting into that with you all. Stay tuned. I hope you're subscribed to my newsletter. If you're not, that means you don't have a copy of my free book, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit. And if you want a copy of that ebook, you are automatically signed up for my newsletter. And what's special about my newsletter, if I do say so myself, is that it goes out every 2 weeks on the new and full moon or around the new and full moon. And it is completely original material. It's material that I have created only for my newsletter people. Sometimes it's kind of like these cathartic diary entries. Sometimes it's little tips. It's whatever's on my mind at the moment. And I urge you to sign up if you haven't yet because the Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year is coming out, and I'm going to be announcing that soon and first to my newsletter subscribers. Nonetheless, keep your eyes and ears peeled for that, and I will see you next Tuesday. Until then, have a great week. Much love. Peace.